Seeing that we do not have any public speakers, Board, I need a motion to adjourn into executive session to discuss land, legal, and personnel as identified on the affidavit.
I move that we adjourn to executive session to
discuss land, legal, and personnel.
So moved.
Thank you. All in favor? Thank you. We're temporarily adjourned. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome, everyone, to our Monday, May 21st, 2018 Board of Education meeting. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Please join the board in a moment of silence. Thank you so much. Board, I need a motion to approve the personnel report as presented in executive session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Thank you. Mr. North?
All across the state, tonight school boards will be celebrating spring sports and activities. Tonight, we have many groups of students to recognize. A lengthy board recognition means that we have a lot of good news to share. First, I want to bring up Ms. Snail, who will begin by recognizing students with outstanding academic honors.
Good evening. I'm Pam Nail, Chief Academic Officer. I'd like for Devin Boatwright and Dr. Grant Fossum from Douglas County High School to join me. For the first time, a student from Douglas County took home the top honor in the state for Star Student. Devin was named the 2018 State Star Student at the State Page Star Banquet on April 23rd in Duluth. Devin chose her International Baccalaureate Advanced Placement Mathematics teacher, Dr. Grant Fossum, as her star teacher and credits him with sparking her passion for math. The Star Student Award at participating high schools goes to the student with the highest SAT score. This year, 559 students with top scores from public and independent high schools across the state competed for the top state honor. The 20 finalists were judged based on essays, scholarship, extracurricular activities, academic ability, personal philosophy, leadership, and more. Finalists also participated in a full day of interviews on the day of the banquet. As this year's State Page Star student, Devin received a $5,000 scholarship. Dr. Fossum received a $2,500 cash award. Yay! Devin will study chemical engineering at Georgia Tech this fall. Devin, we are proud of you and look forward to hearing great things about you in the future.
No, remember, they're going to come around. Yes, we just talked. Yes, normally the board, we always come down front and take pictures, but because we have so many to recognize, what we're going to do is we're going to remain here, and then when the teams come up, they'll sit in the chairs, and then the rest of the athletes will be behind. And so the two of you would come here. It allows us to recognize and pay appropriate respect. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, hold on one second.
If I could get Elizabeth Blevins and Tracy Perkle to join me.
Tracy Perkle.
Got her. Elizabeth Blevins.
Elizabeth Blevins.
We hadn't seen her. Okay.
Okay, this year, 208 students across the state were recognized as 2018 Georgia Scholars by the Georgia Department of Education. We are proud that two of them are from Douglas County, Elizabeth Blevins and Kristen Perkle. This is Tracy Perkle, her mother. Elizabeth is a senior at Alexander High School, and Kristen is a senior at Chapel Hill High School. Kristen regrets that she had a conflict and could not be here tonight. That's why her mother is here in her place. Through the Georgia Scholar Program, the Georgia Department of Education identifies and honors students who have achieved excellence in school and community life. They are students who make high grades in rigorous courses, participate in interclassic events at school and in the community, and assume active roles in extracurricular activities sponsored by their schools. We wish Elizabeth and Kristen much success as they both head to the University of Georgia in August. Go Dawgs. And just found out they will be roommates. Yay.
Picture. Yeah. Well, she's important. Okay. You're never just a mom. Yep. Korean. We're going to do Fair Play Middle School Boys Soccer Camp first. So if we could have Fair Play Middle School Boys Soccer Champions, if they could come up at this time.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm Fonda Strong, and I'm principal of Fair Play Middle School. I'm here to introduce the 2018 County Boys Soccer Champions for Middle School. Boys and coaches are here. The Fair Play Boys entered the county tournament as the sixth seed and defeated the number one seed, Chapel Hill Middle School, in overtime for Fair Play's second title. This was the first time since 2009 that the boys played for the county title. They won by playing as a team and went from worst to first in 1 year. The team members are Jackson Clonch, 8th grader, Connor Eller, 8th grader, Caleb Grayson, 8th grader, Jacob Grimmer and Carson Grizzard, 7th graders, Kale Han and Jalen Jones, 6th graders, Drake Land, 8th grader, Haven Mooney, 7th grader, Alec Mayo, 8th grader, Xander Rice and Dylan Robinson, 7th graders, Jacob Tucker, 8th grader, Austin Werner, 7th grader, Richard Weeks, 7th grader, Pearson Weeks as I call him, 7th grader, Landon White, 8th grader, Cade Wynn, 6th grade, and our coach is the fabulous Miss Kristen Martin, who's the assistant principal at South Douglas Elementary School. Our managers were Michael Patterson, Chase Sabrin, and Henry Lemus. I present to you the 2018 Boys Soccer Champions for Middle School.
Next, we're going to have Chapel Hill Middle School Girls Soccer Champs, Dr. Jolene Morris.
I am Jolene Morris, principal of Chapel Hill Middle School. It is with great pleasure that I introduce the 2018 Girls Soccer Champions for Douglas County. Girls, please come forward. The Chapel Hill Lady Cats finished the regular season with 7 wins and 0 losses. They earned a bye in the first round of the tournament and defeated the Jaeger Mustangs in the semifinals to advance to the championship game against the Fairplay Lady Jags. The Lady Cats defeated the Lady Jaguars of Fairplay in a hard-fought contest, 1-0. The two tournament wins finished off an undefeated season, 9-0. Please step forward when I call your name. Tamiya Scott, Madison Thomas, Madison Davis, Michaela Minchin, Kaylee Austin, Abigail Knowles, Madeline Sims, Francie Butts, Claire Martin, Lauren Jones, Skylar Soley, Casey Leatherwood, Caitlin Linton, Sade Sewell, Samana Jan, Hila Hatarto, Kayla McGee, Morgan Mitchell. Many thanks go to the girls' soccer coaches and managers, head coach Sean Leatherwood, managers Tamron Tyson and Danielle Thacker, and athletic director Jamar Graham. Thank you, ladies. If the girls' track team would please come forward. The Chapel Hill Middle School girls track team finished the season undefeated with a record of 46 wins and 0 losses. This is the 11th year in a row Chapel Hill has won the Douglas County Middle School Track Championship. School records were broken this season in the 300-meter hurdles, the pole vault, and Chapel Hill came in first in 11 out of 16 events. In addition, new records were established in the county and invitational events. Members of the team, please step forward when I call your name. Faith Bush, Francie Butts, Brianna Cleary, Patrice Cofield, Morgan Cole, Chloe Davis, Destiny Davis, Amaya George, Haley Gerard, Amira Hicks, Jemiah Humphrey Carter, Janae Jenkins, Ariel Johnson, Destiny Johnson, Lauren Jones, Taryn Lang, Caitlin Linton, Kayla McGee, Naya Miller, Hannah Napolette, Jordan Owens, Audrey Pugh, Jada Sangster, Skylar Soley, Cecilia Spencer, Maddie Thomas, Abigail Turnbull, Melanie Walker, Jayla Williams, Destiny Woods, and Iron Youngblood. Our head coach is Ambry Earl, and our assistant coach, Kendra Robinson. Jamar Graham, athletic director. Thank you, ladies. Will the Chapel Hill Middle School Boys Track Team please come forward? The Chapel Hill Middle School Boys Track Team won the county championship for the fourth year in a row. The team has won 21 out of the last 22 county championships. Their season record this year was 46 wins and 0 losses. Five school records and 3 county records were broken this season, and the team came in first in 12 out of 16 events at the county meet. Kendall Campbell leads the state in the discus, and Jalen Slade leads the nation in the 100-meter, 200-meter, and triple jump. Please step forward when I call your name. Brian Atkinson, Sam Austin, Bryson Brown, Reginald Bundridge, Kendall Campbell, Marquise Chavis, Andrew Cole, Chase Curtis, Jordan DaCosta, Donovan Davenport, John Edwards, Edward Glacier, Regis Harris, Sincere Howell, Amir Johnson, Kyle Johnson, Jelani Lovett, Jamar Milford, David Orr, Vethan Prong, Jalen Slade, Desire Smith Hill, Jacoby Taylor, Derek Von Hubbard, Zachariah White, Jakari Williams, Ryan Wynn, manager Taylor Pollock, head coach Wynn Locker, and athletic director Jamar Graham.
Good evening. On May 12th, the Alexander girls track team made the school's history by becoming the first team to win a state championship in the school's in a girls' sport. They did this in impressive fashion, with every competing team member earning a spot on the podium, amassing a total score of 83 points. The second team, the second place team, earned 48.5 points. We had three individual Lady Cougars win state championship titles. Like them to just step forward as I call their name. In the 100-meter dash, we had one of our seniors, Vivette Green. In the high jump, we had one of our freshmen, Jasmine Taylor. And winning two individual state titles in the 800-meter and the 1600-meter, Brenda Ayuk. Other members of this state championship team were, who were vital to the championship were Shanice Campbell, Kennedy Crawford, Thomas and John, Cynthia Lopez Jordan, Landry Solomon, and Taviana Williams. Our head coaches for the state championship team are Steve Duncan and Brian Robinson. Assistant coaches are Mike Camp, Steve Camp, Spencer Campbell, Laura McAdams, Jeremy Williams, and O'Neill Yates. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our 2018 6A Girls State Championship team.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Mark O'Holland, principal of New Manchester High School. We'd like the New Manchester State Champions please come forward. I am proud to announce the New Manchester 4x4 relay team placed first in the state in the 6A classification at the state championship on May 12th. Please join me in congratulating Denitra Hester, Cassandra Finlon, Kennedy Quarles, Alexia Allen. Coaches for the track are O'Neill Smiley and Mary Lou Letford. Please give them a big round of applause. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Sean Kelly, and I'm the principal at Chapel Hill High School. Would my girls' state champion track team please join me up front? It was a great day for the Chapel Hill High School Panthers at the state championship meet at Berry College. I am proud to announce that the Lady Panthers defended their state title and are now back-to-back 4A state champions. The girls' track team members are Wallace Adair, Kayla Alexander, Cassidy Amerson Fox, Kamora Cook, Megan Daniels, Ashley Hammond, Ivory Jones, Jalen Kendrick, Derica Price, Joy Scott, Eileen Solon, Isis Taylor, and Zaria White. Coaches are Travis Mahalik, Cooper Harrelson, Anthony Mondani, Jordan Lightfoot, Onisha Smith, and Freddie Allen Jr. Team members placed in many events. Those placing first were the girls' 4x100 meter relay completed a three-peat as they have been the state champions in 2016 in 5A, 2017 in 4A, and now 2018 in 4A. All right. The girls won with a time of 47.09 seconds, which is a USA top 100 time and ranks them number 73 in the country. The 4x100 team consists of Joy Scott, 10th grade, Kayla Alexander, 12th grade, Derica Price, 9th grade, and Eileen Soylan, 11th grade. Kayla Alexander also finished the state champion in the 100-meter hurdles with a time of 13.94 seconds. She broke Olympian Christy Castlin's record earlier this season with a personal record time of 13.69 seconds, which is a USA top 100 time and ranks her number 10 in the country. Overall, the Lady Panthers finished with 72.5 points, which was 20 points difference between the runner-up, which was Woodward Academy. Please congratulate the ladies' 4A state champion track team. At this time, may I have the boys 4x100 team please join me from Chapel Hill High School. The boys 4x100 meter finished as state champions with a time of 41.74 seconds. Team members are Freddie Allen III, 11th grade. Keyshawn Buckley, 9th grade. Michael Daniels, 12th grade. And Tyree Shelton, 12th grade. Tyree Shelton is also the state champion in the 100-meter dash with a school record time of 10.66 seconds. Tyree broke his own school record. Please congratulate the Chapel Hill High School 4x100 state championship team. Tonight, I would also like to recognize the success of the Chapel Hill High School Key Club. Would Ms. Blakey and the officers please come up front? The club participated in the Key Club International District Convention in Macon, Georgia, in February and walked away with many awards, including first place for service, digital club poster, and club t-shirt. The club also won an award for membership growth of 25% over the previous year. The 8 Key Club officers were instrumental in the organization's success this year. Andrea Manning was elected Lieutenant Governor and is the first Key Club officer to reach this level in Douglas County. Officers and members of the club are Emily Orr, Janae Rookert, Jordan Dotson, Madison James, Lisa Brown, Mary Williams, and Danielle DuBose. The club sponsor is Lydia Blakey, who won the Michael S. Goss Outstanding Faculty Advisor Award at the convention. Please help me in congratulating the Chapel Hill High School Key Club.
Will GHP students please join me? Seven students from schools in Douglas County have been selected to attend the prestigious Governor's Honors Program this summer. The students were selected after a rigorous application and interview process. The experience will begin June 17th at Berry College in Rome, Georgia. GHP is a four-week residential summer program for gifted and talented high school students who will be juniors or seniors in August. The state of Georgia covers the cost for the program for all participants. We're extremely proud of these students. From Alexander High School, Cassandra Rich, 10th grade, will study science. Cassandra. Chase Ledgerwood, 11th grade, will study ag science. From Douglas County High School, Luis Osorio, 11th grade, will study world languages with a concentration in French. Sydney Rowe, 11th grade, will with concentration in communicative arts. Brendan Thaler, 11th grade, will study math. From Lithia Springs, Nicholas Gorsinski, 11th grade, will study engineering with a concentration in mechanical and electrical engineering. And from New Manchester, Kyla Edge, 11th grade, will study music with a concentration in voice. Congratulations to each of these students.
Good evening. I am Gary Morris. I'm the director of the College and Career Institute, better known as the CCI. I would like for Nicole Rivers and her video students to join me. Last year, on average, 4 Georgians died per day from an opioid-related overdose. This winter, the Office of the Attorney General, in partnership with several other agencies, sponsored a statewide video and radio contest called We're Not Going to Take It, to illustrate through a 30-second video a recording the dangers of opioid abuse. I am thrilled to announce that a team from the CCI entered this contest and won first place in the state for their video. State Attorney General Chris Carr came to Douglas County this afternoon to present the award to the students. The video will be played across the state as a public service announcement in the fight against opioid abuse. Members of our team include Chancellor Newsom, who's a 12th grader at Chapel Hill High School, Michaela Tappan, who's an 11th grade student at Chapel Hill High School, and Cassin Thompson, who's an 11th grade full-day student at the CCI Academy, and Jay Swafford, who's an 11th grade student at the CCI Academy. Their supervising teacher is Nicole Rivers, and I'd like to congratulate them.
Good evening. I'm Kathy Swanger, Executive Director of Curriculum. It's my privilege to introduce the county winners of the Young Georgia Authors Competition. Would you please join me? Every year, our students participate in the Young Georgia Authors Competition, which is sponsored by the Georgia Council of Teachers of English with the Georgia Department of Education support and cooperation. Each school submits the best writing from each grade level. These entries are judged and a district winner is announced. Tonight, we celebrate the district level winners for each grade level. Please step forward as your name is called. In kindergarten, our winner is Zuri English, from Holly Springs Elementary School. Zuri was also a second place winner for kindergarten in the region. First grade, Deepa Sakti, and I'm going to have trouble with this, Chandra Sikarian from South Douglas Elementary School. In second grade, Melissa Flores from Lithia Springs Elementary. Our third grade winner is Sunny Lynn from Arbor Station Elementary. Our fourth grade winner, Kylie Claiborne from South Douglas Elementary. Our fifth grade winner is Alicia Griswold from Dorset Shoals Elementary. Alicia also earned an honorable mention for the county competition for overall winner. Okay. Our sixth grade winner is Aurora Ochoa from Fairplay Middle School. Our seventh grade winner, Charlotte Hunter from Turner Middle School. Charlotte was named the overall winner for Douglas County. Our eighth grade winner is Maria Grishkovets from Chapel Hill Middle School. Our ninth grade winner, Jeffrey K. Anza Iola. Is that close? From New Manchester High School. Jeffrey was named the runner-up for the overall winner for Douglas County. Our 10th grade winner, Alexander Abar from Alexander High School. Alexander was also the first place winner for 10th grade in the region. Our 11th grade winner, Natalie Quick from Alexander High School. Natalie was also the first place winner for 11th grade in the region. And our 12th grade winner is John Logan Butterbaugh from Douglas County High School. John was also the second place winner for the 12th grade in the region. Let's have a big round of applause for our winners. I would like our first grade winner to come up and pronounce your name for me, please.
On the board.
Deepa Sakti Chandrasekaran.
Thank you.
And I'd like for you to come with me. I have a surprise for you. Come with me. We're going to come right back here.
All of
Thank you, everyone. Before we adjourn for this part of the meeting, can I get your attention for just 1 second? Can I get the doors closed, Mr. Strong? Mr. Strong, can we close the doors for a second? I know we have had a long night. I just want to congratulate all of those who were honored tonight for academic achievement. We are so proud to be the home of the 2018 Star Student of Georgia, and it's an honor to have two students from our school system recognized as the 2018 Georgia Scholars. That's amazing. And to those students who will be attending Governor's Honors this summer, I hope you have time, hope you have the time of your life. Take advantage of every lesson. Congratulations to our video team at the CCI. It's an honor to be recognized by the State Attorney General for outstanding work on your on this very important topic, and it is one that is very critical. As an author myself, I especially want to congratulate the young Georgia authors. I encourage you to keep writing and honing those skills. They will benefit you in life. Continue to really strengthen those skills. I'm proud of our middle school county champions in soccer and track. I know a lot of hard work and hours went into practice for those championships, so we really want to congratulate you for the hard work. We are certainly proud to be the home of two high school state championship teams in track. Congratulations to the girls' teams at Alexander and Chapel Hill. We look forward to more success next year. Congratulations also to the individual and relay teams at New Manchester and Chapel Hill who placed first in events at the state meet. And finally, congratulations to the amazing Key Club at Chapel Hill High School for your outstanding work this year. So I just want to give everyone a round of applause again. Can we do that for those wonderful students? I know some had to leave. And also, before I release you, just so you know, we do this every year at the last meeting. We wear our collegiate paraphernalia, and most of the staff will have that on, too, just to kind of celebrate the seniors who are going off to school and going off to both four-year and trade schools. So that's why you see us in our university gear tonight. So just wanted to explain that. But thank you so much. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. North.
I just want to make one comment before we take a break. There are some awesome things occurring in Douglas County. We have awesome things occurring academically as our star student, but we also have some awesome things occurring when it comes to athletics. And I want you to just think about this from just for a moment. In the 4x400 relay, Alexander High School competed with New Manchester, and there were eight teams on the track. New Manchester got first, Alexander got second. Had Chapel Hill been in the same heat, we would have placed first, second, and third in the heat. That's how talented we are in Douglas County. So whether it's academics, whether it's the band or arts or performance, or whether it's athletics, Douglas County is a very talented community, and we should be proud of that.
Thank you so much. We will be taking a short 5-minute break for those of you who need to go do homework and other things. You can leave at this time, but if you'd like to stay, we're going to come back for the business portion of our meeting in about 5 minutes. We are temporarily adjourned.
We can do that. We can do that.
Thank you so much. We're back in session. Mr. North, do we have anyone for public audience participation?
No, ma'am.
All right, that's going to bring us into our Monday, May the 21st, first budget hearing. I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. Noel.
Thank you.
We'll go back. Yeah, okay. Well, before we go into the budget, let's go ahead and set the agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second. All in favor? Thanks. Thank you.
I want to thank Mr. Denny and the staff for their hard work on the budget. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to him to go over to give an overview of the budget. Mr. Denny.
Thank you, Mr. Norm. Board members, tonight we'll have the first public hearing on the budget. As you know, last meeting we also had a budget meeting. Since then, we haven't really had any changes to the budget, so we'll cover what we did last time. As we look into starting the 2019 budget, the first item we have is our local tax revenues, and they're still coming in. I talked to them today, and we're hoping to have some good numbers by June 1st, which would be great because we'll have those before we take bring the budget to the board for approval, so that we may have that finalized, unlike last year where we had to come back and do a budget amendment afterwards. So hopefully we'll have those numbers and see where those go. As we go on, our state funding highlights, as we mentioned last time, this is the first time since 2003 that we do not have a state austerity cut. That has been restored. Obviously, we're thankful for that. We put those funds back in there. We also had an FTE increase in our budget this year. We went from $26,537 to $26,705. We did get the state allotments have come out now. I will be able to have those updated and everything, but we did not have any change. They were the same as the estimates, which is good. So we'll have those updated in time for the next budget meeting as well. Some of the looking into our state funding, our health insurance revenues increased by $521,000. Our equalization revenues increased $1,770,000. Our equalization revenues is where the state equalizes digest of poor counties to wealthier counties. We actually receive about $18 million in equalization revenues, so that's a large source of revenues for us in Douglas County. Our local fair share did increase some. This is where we contribute 5 mils to the QBE formula. And because our digest did go up some last year, our cost of the 5 mil share went up as well. As we go on, a couple of other significant changes that we had this year. Our TRS employer share contribution goes from 16.81% to 20.9%. That was about a $5.4 million cost to the system. Most of that was picked up by the state in our QBE earnings. But we do fund locally those people under TRS that's not earned under the QBE formula. And also that is hopefully a one-time increase. I think that is projected to go back next year. They're trying to get TRS back up to standard. So hopefully that will not be there next year and that cost will go back down. Also, our classified health insurance went up this year. For the last time, this has been phased in over the last 3 years. You'll see that we've increased it $150 a month per classified employee. That's been a three-year implementation that the state has put in. Hopefully, this will be the last year of that increase. So hopefully that'll level out as well. We also, as the board has done every year, we have awarded step raises to all those employees who are eligible. To move up on the pay scale, as long as they have a satisfactory evaluation, the school board has awarded those step raises, and we continue that this year. As we go on into direct instructional expenditures, this is where we spend the majority of our money. This is for the classroom teachers and all the items that are direct instruction related. And as you know, one of our priorities has been to lower the class size in the elementary level. So you'll see that our additions to teacher allotments have will reflect that goal. We added 21 teachers in kindergarten, 13 teachers in grade 1 through 3. We added 5 teachers grade 4 through 5. Middle school, 6-8, we added 14.5 teachers, but it's important to note that 3 of those were at the Student Success Center, which are budget-neutral positions because we offset that by canceling the contract through Ombudsman. Same thing at high school, we added 5 teachers, but 4 of those at the Student Success Center that were also budget-neutral items. As we go on, special education, we added 19 teachers to the general fund, but 14 of those teachers moved in from the special ed fund as an offset with some adjustments we made. We added 32 paraprofessionals. 20 of those was kindergarten and 12 of those was special ed. Right now our teacher allotments include 8 unassigned positions. Those are positions that we save as if students move in and we need positions throughout the year. We pull from these 8 unassigned if we need it, and that they're already in the budget. If we don't need them, then those savings just continue on into the next year. We also reduced 1 technology specialist position in the budget. And as you will see, through direct instruction, this is a chart that shows our projected class sizes before the budget and then after the budget. So you can see that kindergarten, where we added most of our teachers, you'll see that our class size is going from 22 to 18. Obviously, that's a step in the right direction, hopefully getting back to where we were many years ago. There's a couple other grades that we're reducing that class size a little bit. It's through our K-5 initiative, and then the rest of them remain the same. But that's goals is to reduce those as we go forward in future budgets. As we move out of also in direct instruction, we have high school counselors. We added 6 positions, but 2.5 of those came from special ed, so they're not new positions. They were moved over from that fund. As we said earlier, the teaching position additions include opening the Student Success Center, which was a budget-neutral position by removing the contract with Ombudsman. And then we also moved contracted services for sign language interpreters from our special ed funds over back into our general funds. So those are the significant changes in direct instruction. As we look into our pupil services function, we added in this budget an athletic director position. We also added a sign language interpreter. Those services have been contracted out in the past 2 years. We're trying to get those people brought on staff now. And then we added funds for athletic trainers at our high schools. Those were also contracted out. These services are contracted out at most of our high schools for the athletic trainers. As we go over into 2210, Improvement of Instructional Services, we transferred software costs from SPLOST to the general fund. You'll actually see that transfer in many of several other functions as we go along. We're trying to bring those costs back into the general fund and save our SPLOST funds for building projects. So you'll see that initiative as well. As we go into school administration, we added 1 principal at the Student Success Center, which was, again, budget neutral because we removed the Ombudsman contract. We added 5 assistant principal positions, and we are moving the new elementary principals to 240-day contracts. Those are the ones that are just brand new for this year. And then we also moved middle school principals to a 240-day contract. As we go into our business services, this is another area where we moved the cost of the software from the eSPLOST funds over to the general fund and that function. As we go into maintenance and operation, we reduced 1 specialist position that retired this year and we're not replacing. We did cancel our contract for grounds crew, and we added back 6 grounds crew personnel in order to do our grounds in-house. That is a budget-neutral item as we canceled the contract and then hired the the employees back. We also restored funds for maintenance to help with repairing and updating buildings and equipment so that they will have some money to make sure that we have the necessary repairs, especially in the area of HVAC controls and a lot of our doors and items like that that are just in general need of repair and maintenance that we haven't really had the money to update as we the last couple of years, so we did add funds there. As we go over into student transportation, we added a director's position and removed a route supervisor position. We also transferred the cost of the GPS system, which is a software cost, from ESPLOS funds back into the general fund. And we also reduced the supply budget in transportation due to the purchase of new buses. When we received those new buses, our cost of maintenance on the older buses that we'll be phasing those out will be less, so we did reduce those funds. As we look at our support services central, we added some operational funds for public relations to have so they could have some funds operated on. We added funds for the renewal of our well filter, which was coming up this year. That was typically a SPLOS-funded purchase. We moved to the general fund. And then we also added funds to cover the cost of graduation ceremonies this year into the budget. As we look at our continue on with our support services, we also added funds for security camera infrastructure and also added funds for additional security cameras. That's, you know, all part of our student safety initiative to get all those in place. And then we also added funds for replacement projectors in there as well. So as we go on, as we look toward our bond debt outstanding is $140,520,000, which includes principal and interest. One of the important things about our bond debt this year was our bond rating actually went up from an A+ to an AA-, and because of our improved financial position, we have increased our fund equity back up to a level that the bond underwriters like to see, and that in turn increased our bond rating. If we ever get to the position where we want to issue bonds again, that results in lower interest rates, which means lower cost to the school system. As we go looking at ending this budget year and going into next budget year, as I said, we do now have our fund equity restored back to an acceptable level. Our goal is to keep fund equity between 12% and 15%, which is somewhere between 2 to 2.5 months of operating expenses. So it's not like we have a lot sitting there, but I mean, it's certainly by law we're required to maintain no more than 15%. So we try to stay in that goal. Using when our ending fund equity projected at $33 million, we'll be within our goal and have a good fund equity.
Thank you, Greg.
At this time, we're going to open the floor for any public comments. Are there any public comments at this time? Come on up to the front. Good evening. Good evening. Thank you for coming. Just want to briefly just explain and be real short, but we want to welcome you. We want you to know that we are open to the community. We want to hear what you have to say and any questions that you have. We're going to ask that you limit your conversation, your discussion, your questions to 3 minutes, and then after that, we reserve the right to not respond, and if our superintendent desires to do so, he's more than welcome to say something. Okay, and we're just going to ask at this time if you would just give us your name and your address, and then you'll begin your 3 minutes.
Yeah, so my name is Joshua Barnett. I live at 3573 King Drive, Douglasville, Georgia. So I've actually been in the Douglas County school systems my entire childhood. So I graduated from DCHS in 2013 as a gifted student.
Excuse me. Is your mic up? Can you speak into the mic? I'm having difficulty.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, much better.
All right, excellent. As I said, I'm Douglas County. I'm the product of the Douglas County school system. So I graduated from DCHS in 2013 as a gifted student, and I actually recently graduated from Georgia Tech. I'm here because I'm concerned about whether gifted students are getting an excellent education in Douglas County. Exam scores across an array of exams and grade levels indicate that too few students in DC are achieving at the top levels academically. Douglas County elementary schools have fewer students score at the top level on milestone exams for all grades and subjects. The disparity is especially glaring in math, where the rate was up to 37% lower than the state rate. Douglas County middle schools had fewer students score at the top level milestone exams for all grades and subjects except for 8th grade science and math, but 6th and 7th grade math again stand out, the rate being nearly 50% lower than the state. As for high school, while our students are competitive in 3 out of 8 subjects, there are enormous disparities in top level scores in geometry in both sciences. And when it comes to exams taken globally, SAT, AP, and IB exams, the gulf is much wider. It is stunning that these students across the world are 6 times more likely to score at the top AP exam score and 3 times more likely at the top SAT score than DC students. This data is indicative of how gifted students are doing, especially since gifted students are more likely to score at the highest level than non-gifted students. Statewide, gifted students are only about 10% of the total student population, yet gifted elementary students accounted for about 44% of all distinguished learner scores. Gifted middle schoolers scored at 43%, and gifted high schoolers at 49%. So in other words, gifted students are 4 to 5 times more likely to score at the top level of milestone exams. Therefore, if you have few top performers, that suggests that many of the gifted students are not achieving the highest potential. We estimate the percentage of DC's gifted students scoring distinguished learners and compare it to the state's gifted population. Fewer DC gifted students earned the highest score in 23 of 24 exams. The rate was at least 25% lower in 17 of 24. So in my own experience, having attended GT, I had a chance to compare my high school experience to many of my peers. I found that at the top score, the top scores on AP and IB exams among my friends and classmates were routine and treated as such in our conversations. But I was surprised. This didn't really seem to be an effect of me being at Georgia Tech, but rather the general climate of those high schools. In comparison, my high school achievements paled in comparison, especially as they relate to exam scores. With achievements this low among gifted students, surely you would consider allocating more funds for gifted education, and I think Jeremy's going to take up the next slot.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett, for your presentation at this particular time. I apologize. I made a mistake. I should have prefaced that the comments made during this time should be specifically geared towards the budget. So I apologize for that. But seeing as you made this presentation to us and this information was provided to us, we'll take this into advisement.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Good evening.
Hey.
Hi.
How are y'all?
Wonderful. And Mr. Noonan, I know you presented to us several times, and I just want to reiterate that at this particular time, any comment that's going to be made, I'm going to center it around the budget.
Sure.
Is this comment around the budget that we?
Yeah, and his was too. I mean, he's giving you the reasons why we're making these requests.
To ask for more.
We're trying to substantiate our requests based on a demonstrated need
for expanding.
And so he's showing that academic achievement is low among your gifted population, mm-hmm. and therefore you need to consider. We're asking for you to consider that you consider that when making budget decisions related to gifted funding.
Okay.
If the academic achievement was high, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't care.
Thank you.
Is that clear?
We're going to ask if you could just say your name, your address, and then we'll begin our time. 3 minutes.
Okay, so Jeremy Noonan, 9397 Grace Lake Drive, Douglasville, Georgia. So this is the third year now we've presented to you evidence of low achievement for our gifted students in Douglas County. that our gifted students are not realizing their academic potential in our school system is a matter that should concern you. While more money alone is not a silver bullet, spending more academic resources for gifted students surely can make a difference. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here talking about money. The school system receives extra money from the state and FDE funding for gifted students. The state does not require that this money be spent on gifted education. However, low academic performance, as Josh shared, indicates that the school system is not being a good steward of this gifted money. And you owe it to these students to use the money that they bring in for their academic benefit. We calculated how much additional funding gifted students generated for the system this year compared to regular FTE funding. Extra funding is received for program challenge courses in elementary and middle school, for AP and IB courses, I believe honors courses as well, taken by gifted students in high school. On the sheet that you have, we broke this down for each level, the FTE funding, on the chart on the back page. So altogether, the extra or the additional gifted FTE revenues was about $2.6 million. This extra money is intended to meet the unique needs of gifted students. Yet you've only explicitly allocated 65% of these additional revenues for gifted education. And you've only allocated 23% for gifted education of the total gifted FTE. And this is only for the salary of program challenge teachers. So we know that the money is dispersed to all kinds of other categories. But for gifted students, these other categories should be covered by the portion of the gifted FTEs that's equal to the regular FTEs. These additional FTE funds need to be allocated directly for gifted education. Now, this could go towards hiring more staff to make class sizes smaller, but I want to propose something simpler, more concrete, easier to act on, and that's a portion of this extra funding needs to be set aside for resources that PC, AP, and IB teachers can access to benefit their students. A single AP class with 20 gifted students, for example, generates an extra $7,000 for the school system in additional funding than if they weren't in that AP class. An AP science teacher should be able to access this money for lab supplies, an IB math teacher for textbooks. You have $0 allocated for textbooks in the whole budget, which itself is a big concern, because how can students become independent lifelong learners if they can't teach themselves by reading textbooks and learning from them themselves? So, and as for elementary school, my daughter's PC teacher had a $160 budget for all her PC classes this year, $160. But my daughter alone brings in nearly $300 just for taking that PC class once a week. So it's not even one student. So I'll conclude by saying this. I believe you have about a month to pass the budget, over a week until your teachers leave for the summer. I agree with Mr. North. He and I have talked that such decisions need to be need-driven. There shouldn't be some arbitrary percentage that's just set, but needs to be driven by actual needs for teachers. So perhaps there's time to survey these teachers of gifted students, find out what they need for these classes that bring in the extra gifted funding, and then make sure that those funds are there for them in the budget, however you see fit to do so. I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Noonan.
Thank you.
I do want to comment.
Mr. Noonan.
Yes, I would like to comment. I want to thank Mr. Newman for our conversation. But as your superintendent, my philosophy is different. I actually support the current administration at the federal and the state level. And what they are allowing local districts to do is to not focus on where the funds derive from, but making sure that the needs of the students are met. And so what we are trying to get our teachers to do, and what we're trying to get our principals to do, is to not think about gifted funding, not think about special education funding, because the reality is, Mr. Jackson, your daughter attended Douglas County School System, did she not?
Correct.
Do you care where the money comes from?
Nope.
You want to make sure that she has a quality teacher and that she has services.
Yes.
The feds and the state recognize that as well. And so they are allowing us the latitude to do so. And so what we try to do with the funds is, as I stated with Mr. Newman, we exceed the FTE funding that children receive in our district with local funds, because we want to make sure that every child and every teacher has whatever he or she needs in order to be successful. There are some things we've got to work through, meaning administrators doing a little bit more due diligence, making sure that we ask teachers what their needs are. But on the other hand, what we've got to do also is we are taking care of needs, not necessarily wants. When you drive our campus, you see trailers, and they are there in some instances not because of students. They're there because of the increased instructional supplies that teachers have received. In our profession, we don't necessarily like to throw things away, so we store them, and we store them, and we store them. And so I just want you all to know that this budget is committed to making sure that whether you are a gifted student or an IB student or an ESOL student or a special education student or a regular QBE student, that you have more than what you need in order to be successful. So I like conversations about making sure we have the resources, not necessarily how the funding or where it comes from. And so that's the direction the state's moving in. That's the direction we're moving in the Douglas County school system. We can't have high expectations for our staff and not make sure they have the resources that they need. And we shouldn't be having, in my opinion, a conversation based on where the funds come from, because they can care less. They just want what they want, and they want to have it in a timely manner. And so that's where we are in the Douglas County school system, and I think this budget is a reflection of that.
All right, thank you, Mr. North. It's going to bring us to our consent agenda item. Board, I need a motion to approve consent agenda as presented.
So moved. Second.
Let's do it. Who's first?
So moved.
Second. All in favor? Thank you. That's going to bring us to our discussion item. Mr. North?
First is the tentative adoption of the FY19 budget. I want to just take a couple of seconds before I make the recommendation to the board. Mm-hmm. We have been working on this budget for in excess of a month. We published it last week, or 2 weeks ago, so that anyone who wanted to have access could have access to it. And so they've already had 2 weeks to call in and ask questions or make suggestions or make recommendations. And now we're going to post it for an additional almost 30 days. Once the board hopefully votes to advertise it, it is not an official budget yet. It doesn't become official until it is approved, hopefully in the June meeting. And so we have an additional 20-plus days to make any necessary changes. I think there's this perception that once the budget is approved tonight, that is it. It is not it. It's the beginning of the process, or it's a part of the process. And so I recommend that I make that recommendation to the board.
Thank you, Mr. North. Board, need a motion to approve the tentative FY19 proposed budget.
So moved.
Second.
Any question? All in favor? Thank you. That's going to bring us to item B, secure access at high schools.
I am so excited about this one, Mr. Hyman.
Love your shirt.
Thank you, ma'am. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. This item's for action tonight for the purchase of door hardware and technology hardware to provide secure access at each high school as presented. It's on the agenda for approval this evening. The technology department is seeking approval for door hardware and associated technology hardware to provide secure access at each high school. This hardware will allow all school doors to be locked while providing access for students and staff members. Bids were requested and 4 were received. Overhead Door Company of Atlanta is the apparent low bidder for door hardware at a cost of $185,452.47. A3 Communications is the apparent low bidder for the technology hardware required at a cost of $517.92 for a total of $273,970.39 from eSPLOST 4 funds.
And before the, just one comment, we normally like to bring it to you at a work session, but because the bids just came in and because students will be gone enjoying their summer break at the end of this week, this allows us, we would love to have all of the safety measures implemented before students return in the fall. And so that's why we want to hear several of those tonight. Just gives us an opportunity to try to get it in before school starts.
Okay, and also these were posted on e-board, so we've had an opportunity to review these before coming tonight, so since last week. So need a motion to approve. Let's do that, and then we'll do question. Need a motion to approve the secure access as presented.
So moved. Second.
Any question? Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, Mr. Hyman, secure access, that means that each student will have a swipe card to get in, or?
Yes, sir. So it'll be just like it is here. We'll give students a card that they will be able to swipe in during set hours that are school hours, okay, that they can get in during that time.
And next question is, and it's going to come up, I got a child. He lost his card. How much is it going to cost the parents to get another card?
We're going to work through that with the principals. Because this is the first year, we want to be as flexible as possible, so we built in replacement card. But the goal is the kids are actually pretty good at it. They take their cell phones, put a pouch on the backside. They put their driver license and their card in there as well. It is just expedited. Instead of it starting in college, it will start in high school. And we're also, as we perfect the technology, considering giving them a code so that if you lose your card within that window, but we're still vetting that just because we don't want them passing a code off to somebody else. But they can give the card the same day. So just know we're looking at all of those options. When the principals, when we're at our retreat, we want to all agree so we can be consistent with it because we don't want one school having one procedure and another one has something different.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Simmons?
I know we, in a few months back, a discussion and comments were made regarding metal detectors and things like that, and comments, you know, we responded, you know, we didn't want the schools to be like prisons. Are there any ways that the doors, the way they are, they can provide that type of security in addition to the secure doors where they don't actually appear to be metal detectors?
So the current doors that we'll be outfitting with this technology, they won't be changed in any way except for another item that's going to come to you in just a moment for new doors. Mm-hmm. But the doors will look the same. It will be, we will add those card readers and the technology, the push bars, mm-hmm, will have technology to automatically open them. So they will look the same as they do today for the most part.
But I can tell you, out of all the ones that Mr. Strong has brought to me to look at, mm-hmm, it's apparent that they are metal detectors.
Okay.
And so, but we can go back and look and see if there's new technology out there that where the infrastructure reflects traditional doors, mm-hmm, and you're not actually realizing you're walking through one.
Yeah.
We can look into that.
Thank you.
Gotcha. Thank
Any
you.
Other questions? All in favor? Thank you. That's going to bring us to item C, which is purchase of doors, a secure access project.
Madam Chair, members of the board, recommendation is being made to approve the purchase of 31 doors to be used at Lithia Springs High School in conjunction with the secure access project being conducted at all Douglas County school system high schools. We're seeking approval today, May 21st, 2018. Bids were solicited and two responses were received for the purchase of 31 special light doors with panic bars and safety tempered glass. These doors are needed at Lithia Springs High School due to the current doors being warped and not appropriate for use with the new technology and hardware required to finalize the secure access project at all Douglas County school system high schools. The apparent low bidder for the door purchase is Available Supply Incorporated at a cost of $42,000. The cost is $42,149.96, and it is funded through SPLOST 4.
Thank you, Mr. Carr. Board, need a motion to approve this item as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any question? Mr. Jackson?
Estimated time frame for installing the doors?
We are projecting mid-July. The doors will be back in about 8 weeks from today, pending board approval, because they have to put them together. The doors are going to be fiberglass, reinforced polymer, and so they'll be durable for the next 100 years or so. So they're going to put those together in 8 weeks, and then we're going to have a crew that'll take about a week and a half to put them together. So we're looking at mid-July.
Mid-July, and if I'm not mistaken, because I don't have a child in school no more, I don't have to keep up with the date. When is first day of school?
August 8th.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our goal is to, whether it's the painting, whether it is the new security system, we are aiming for everything being ready by August 1st.
Any other questions? All in favor? Thank you. It's going to bring us to item D, which is certification of completed projects for state reimbursement.
Madam Chair, members of the board, recommendation is being made to approve the certificates of the Board of Education certifying that the dish machine installation at Douglas County High School and the cooler freezer replacement at Mount Carmel Elementary have been paid in full as presented. We are seeking approval upon certification of the Board of Education that all accounts for the dish machine at Douglas County High School and the cooler freezer replacement at Mount Carmel Elementary School have been paid in full. The Georgia Department of Education will issue a project cost certification form for the release of the remaining 10% balance of state reimbursement funds to the Douglas County school system. The balance due for the dish machine is $2,500, and the balance due for the freezer cooler is approximately $2,000.
Thank you, Mr. Carney. A motion to approve this item as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any question? All in favor? Thank you. That's going to bring us to item E. And this is the contract with Southern Behavioral Group.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this item is for approval tonight. Recommendation is made to approve the contract with Southern Behavioral Group as presented. Southern Behavioral Group will continue to provide behavioral assessments, behavioral interventions, in-school consultations, skill assessment development, and other training associated with behavioral analysis and interventions. The cost for these services is not to exceed $70,000. The funding source is general fund for special education allocated for contractual services.
Thank you so much. Board, need a motion to approve item as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any question?
I have a question, Madam
Chair. Ms. Simmons?
How many people will be working under this particular contract?
Generally speaking, we contract with one BCBA that comes out to our district.
So this is for one person?
It's with the group, but the main contact that we have is with Dr. AJ Ninkosi.
And they work, she works, or this person works 40 hours, a minimum of 40 hours per week?
He does not. He works on an as-needed basis. Right now, he's with our district on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And he will do some work during the summer. It's just really on an as-needed basis. To date, we have not used the $70,000. Mm-hmm. We're at $49,000 from last year. We were projected for $70,000, mm-hmm. but we are only at $49,000.
Okay. And this includes travel between, if he has to travel between different schools?
I'm sorry, could you repeat your
question? Does this include travel, if he has to travel between different schools, travel reimbursement, mileage?
It is on an hourly basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just, so it's a not to exceed amount. So
the 70,000
compensating.
Not to exceed, yes.
All right, okay. All right, all in favor? Thank you. It's going to bring us to item F, which is the contract with Pediatric Services of America Incorporated.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, this item is for approval tonight. Recommendation is made to approve the contract with Pediatric Services of America, doing business as PSA Healthcare. This will be for 4 full-time nurses and 1 part-time nurse. These are one-to-one nurses for 5 special education students with significant and specialized medical needs. The agreed-upon rate is $40 per hour for LPN services and $45 per hour for RN services, not to exceed the 180 school days. The funding source is IDEA Special Education Flow-Through Grant.
Thank you. Board, need a motion to approve this item as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any question?
I have a question.
Ms. Simmons?
Approximately how many children are on these nurses' caseload? How many children are on these nurses' caseload? I know it's one-to-one, so it's literally 4 children?
5 children. Is that what you asked me?
Yes.
Yes, you're asking how many students. It's 5 students. So we have 4.5. We have 1 student that will be attending 5 days a week, part-time next year, half days. Okay. So that accounts for the part-time.
Okay. And this is totally funded through IDEA?
Yes.
And this includes travel, everything. And this is it not to exceed, or is it just flat payment that we're paying out regarding this contract?
So they pay, we pay out for the hours that they are with that student. If the student is out for weather or for sickness, we do not pay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All in favor? Thank you. It's going to bring us to item G, which is our contract with Comprehensive Therapy Consultants for SLP services.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, this item is for approval tonight. Recommendation is made to approve the agreement with Comprehensive Therapy Consultants. Special Education will continue to contract with Comprehensive Therapy Consultants, speech therapists, to work with special education students as defined in their individualized education plans, or IEPs. The hourly rate for these services is $57 per hour for a speech therapist. The funding source is general fund special education funds allocated for speech language pathologists.
Thank you, board. Need a motion to approve this item as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Question?
Madam Simmons? Chair, typically, how many hours do the speech language SLP, speech language pathologists, work? On a yearly basis, like, do they absorb this whole amount, or how much do they usually use?
It's 30. These are full-time allotments, so 36 to 40 hours, no more than 40 hours a week per SLP. I must add that last year we contracted with 10 SLPs, and this year we're only asking for 6. Okay. We've been able to do direct hires.
So each one, so this will just be split in half between the two of them?
I'm sorry.
So this amount that's being requested, the $165,000, that's being split between the two people?
Yes, that is correct. With, yes, 2 different SLPs. Correct.
So this amount is going to be spent?
This amount is going to be spent? Yes, split. Yes, split by 2. Split so by you're 2. Looking at 82.5 mm-hmm. per one.
And in addition to that, they get mileage reimbursement between the schools.
I do not believe so, but I can check into that if you would like for me to.
I read that in the contract. But my question is, because I understand the necessity of having speech-language pathologists. Mm-hmm. I understand that. My question is that when we add up the totals of this, the speech-language pathologists, the occupational therapists, physical therapists, we're looking at really like $500,000.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any way or any thought to doing some creative partnerships or anything to kind of bring those costs down?
I understand the need and things like that, but, you know, just building a relationship with some schools that develop and train and teach and graduate speech-language pathologists so we can kind of recruit our own or something like that. Have we thought about anything like that?
I mean, those are good questions, and yes, we've had a lot of conversation. Mr. Norris asked, you know, about the conversation with the contractual services. As far as our speech-language pathologists, they are very, very difficult to find in the field. Number one, we have hired SLPAs, which are speech-language pathologist assistants, and we do have two of those that are hired at this time, trying to recruit them out of college and get them certified into full SLP. Also, I might add that with these contracts, we have clauses in there that they can be with these services for 3 years, and then there's a non-compete clause, or we had them exclude a compete clause so that we can hire them directly once they finish the 3 years.
Right. I just, you know, I've heard this because, you know, I ask, you know, questions during the meetings, and I just really want to press us to think outside of the box and not just accept, you know what, in this particular industry, there's a shortage. Because we found that through creative partnerships and things like that, doors can open when we just reach out and say, hey, have you ever thought about this? How can we work together to make this work? And it helps us bring other people in, but then also helps us to be more effective and efficient with how we spend our money.
Yes, ma'am. We will continue to have those conversations.
Thank you.
Ms. Hanley, at the bottom it has funding source, SLP. Mm-hmm. What's the funding source for this one?
This one comes out of the allotments for our speech therapist.
Gotcha. So it's QBE.
Yes, there you go.
So it's
thank
QBE.
You.
Yes.
It's fully funded.
Local fund.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. All in favor, I apologize. Thank you very much. It's going to bring us to item H, and that's for a contract for comprehensive therapy consultants.
Yes, if I bring both of these next year, I'll put them together. But, Madam Chair, members of the board, this item is for approval tonight. Recommendation is made to approve the agreement with comprehensive therapy consultants for physical therapy and occupational therapy. Special Education will be contracting with comprehensive therapy consultants for physical therapists and occupational therapists to work with special education students as defined in their individualized education plans. Mm. The approximate hourly rate for physical and occupational therapists is $55 per hour. Again, the funding source is general funds allocated to special education for physical and occupational therapy.
Thank you so much. Board, need a motion to approve this item as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Question? Ms. Simmons?
No question, Madam
Chair. I thought your hand went up.
To move my microphone.
Oh, okay. Thank you. If there are no questions, all in favor? Thank you so much. It's going to bring us to item I, which will be contracts for EBS, educational-based services, for SLPs.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this item is for approval tonight. Recommendation is made to approve the agreement with educational-based services, EBS, for continued speech therapy services as presented. EBS will employ consultants to provide speech services to Douglas County School System students as needed, based on their individual education plan. The agreed-upon rate is $60 per hour, not to exceed 40 hours per week, 190 days. The funding source is general fund, special education. It's through the QBE SLP allotments.
Thank you. Board, need a motion to approve this item as presented.
Second.
Question? Ms. Simmons?
How many, do you know right now how many children are going to be on these person's caseloads?
It will vary from 40s to 50s. 55 is the maximum caseload. And again, it will just depend on the severity of the needs of those children on the caseload. So if you have some SLPs that have a lot of programs such as autism, ID, they might have a little bit lower caseload than another speech therapist that are treating other disorders.
But this particular contract is flat. It's a flat $85.5 for each SLP. Am I correct?
Correct.
For
per
this
hour,
particular
correct.
Month, in addition to travel reimbursement between schools, if necessary.
I will check on the travel.
Yeah, I think I read that in the contract. How long have we had contracts with this particular organization, EBS?
I'm sorry.
How long have we had a contract with EBS? You're asking us to renew it, right?
I know it's a continued contract, or it's not a brand new contractual service. I do not know the length of time.
Can you find that out?
We can. Can you make it a point to find out how long we've had the contract with this company?
I will.
And if you email Melanie, we'll send that to the board first thing tomorrow.
And then another question. When the contracts are renewed, is there a discussion and renegotiation in regards to the initial amount of the contract? Because $85,000 just seems like a lot to pay. So, and I understand their caseloads and their, you know, and 40-some children and different things. Like, it just seems a little exorbitant for me.
I don't mind telling you, I ask those questions, and we have those dialogues going back and forth. What we look at is what it would cost us if we hire someone full-time, and then what the benefits would cost us. And so this is $85,000 without that person being a part of TRS, without them having health care or insurance. Mm-hmm. And so but we always – the conversation we're always having is, can we find someone – so that we can have them in-house, and how can we build our own, or how can we grow our own, or motivate our own students to come and stay and work and be a part of the Douglas County family. So, yes, those conversations are being had. Like with the nurses, you know, when I looked at the numbers, and I know we have nurses that work for Ms. Davis, and then we have nurses that we contract out for special needs students, and trying to understand what's the difference and how can we better manage it. The reality is, because of the severity of the students, the company we're working with, they're owning a certain piece of that liability. And sometimes our nurses, when it comes to students with trach, they don't feel comfortable dealing with that. And so, so there's just a number of variables that go into play. But I'm a believer that the more we can have in-house, we control the time, we control the training and everything else.
I think this is just a really a good example as well as to the cost that goes into servicing children with special needs and different, you know, different challenges. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? All in favor? Thank you. All right, that's going to bring us to item J, which is the contract with Cobb Pediatric Speech Services.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, this item is for approval tonight. Recommendation is made to approve the agreement with Cobb Pediatric Speech Services Incorporated, doing business as Cobb Pediatric Therapy Services, for continued speech therapy services as presented. Cobb Pediatric Speech Services will employ consultants to provide speech services to Douglas County School System students as needed per an individual education plan. The agreed upon rate is $58.50 per hour, not to exceed 40 hours per week, 190 days. The funding source is, again, the SLP allotment, QB.
Thank you so much.
And this covers two of our two speech therapists.
For two, all right. Board, need a motion to approve the item as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Question?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Jackson?
This is a real simple question. I know it's going to be hard for you to answer. Can you please give us your name?
Thank you. I'm Cheryl Hanley, the new Executive Director for Special Education.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I do have a question, and this just goes into back to what Ms. Simmons was saying, and also a vetting of the documents of companies before they're presented to us. Some of the assumption on this end is that when you're vetting them, that you are going to market to constantly check for rates so you know when you're bringing them forward what the market rate is for each specialized service, and also the complexity for being able to bring someone in-house. And I do know that the services that we've been discussing tonight, it's difficult to get people on staff to do it because they can make much more being able to do it as a contract employee, a contract person. So I just wanted to make that statement that if, unless something has changed, that you all are making those comparisons.
Absolutely.
Before you're bringing those to us. Okay. So with that being said, need a motion to approve it as we did that. So all in favor? Thank you. It's been a long night. All in favor? Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to bring us to information only.
Madam Chair, members of the board, you have overnight and out-of-state field trips and summer camps for your review.
Thank you so much. That is going to bring us to board member comments.
I have none.
Mr. Caldwell?
None.
Simmons?
I want to thank everyone for coming out. This is going to be my last, is this my last board meeting before I leave on the 13th?
Yes.
This is going to be my last board meeting before I leave for my trip. So I'm going to miss you all for 20 days. But I'll keep in touch with the agenda from Ghana. No, send in my questions. No, but I just want to thank those for encouragement and encouraging me in my process and the things that I'll be doing moving forward. Thank you all, and see y'all soon.
Thank you so much. Then to thank Mr. Denny. Thank you for the Excel document. I appreciate it for providing that to me. Just thank you for the hard work going into the budget. It's been a long year. We've had. I want to thank our staff for hanging in there, and congratulations to our seniors who are graduating. It's just a very exciting time. So happy summer to everyone. Mr. North.
Thank you all.
Thank you. So we are adjourned.
We gotta take out our old picture real quick because it's pro bono. Okay. DT.